Right, let's turn down the music. It's just coming up to 10:40, and here, a little bit later than scheduled, and that was my fault for guessing on off air, I've got Mr. Chris Hossack, who is the leader of Brentwood Council. He's here today to come in to talk about loads of council business and also some of the questions that you've put forward for Chris as well. He's had a quick look at them, because we're not here to surprise anybody. I don't like that. I'm not trying to be, what is it, Paxman or something, by jumping at people. So you've had a good look at the questions.
Familiarised
yourself with them, that's it, and he's going to answer all of them. So thank you very much for getting in contact as well, so you'll get a direct answer from the leader of the council. So anyway, how are you?
I'm very well, actually.
Yes,
yeah, all things considered. Yeah,
yes,
I'm pretty good. It's a busy life, but that's how I like it.
Just going to ask you, what happened, what were you doing yesterday?
So yesterday was Commonwealth Day.
Yep.
So we had a flag raising ceremony at the town hall, outside the front of the town hall, which went really well, actually. We had kids from Brentwood School, cadets. We had a transport squadron there from Worley. It was just a really nicely done event. We had British Legion there, of course, as well, with the standard. So it was very brief, simple event. Flag went up, celebrating the Commonwealth. Few speeches were given. But it really works well outside the front of the town hall on that open space we got now.
Yeah.
And I guess people driving past thinking, what's going on? But yeah, it was nice.
Yeah,
it was very formal.
Yeah,
in a nice sort of way.
Yeah, I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
The pictures. Now we're going to talk about, before we get on to the questions, coronavirus.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah,
what's the stance from Brentwood Council?
We are having daily briefings from national government, central government. That we've got a person appointed to keep a finger on the pulse of what's going on there. We're not going to do anything out of turn that the government doesn't instruct to do. Our view, and my personal view, is let's just try and keep it business as usual as much as possible. I think what I think is being more damaging than the actual virus itself is people's reaction to it.
Yeah.
Maybe you could even argue the media's reaction to it, which is stoking it, and it's just creating a whole load of problems that we don't really need to have. You don't need to be short of loo roll, frankly.
Yeah.
Coronavirus, to my knowledge, doesn't have that effect on the anatomy.
No.
So why people are doing that, I don't know. I think it's just adding pressure to the situation. So there's an old maxim, isn't there, we're all familiar with in this country, which is keep calm and carry on.
Yes.
And do the common sense things. Wash your hands in scalding water or whatever you need to do, and just be really sensible. You know, I think this, I'm not a doctor, but this thing pretty much probably transmits in the way any other flu virus would. So do what you would do to prevent that from happening. But we're going to keep a track on it. I think we're going to see things probably escalate. Every day that the numbers go up, the government are going to think, how do we respond to that?
Yeah.
But let's not overreact. Let's try and keep calm. And carry on.
Are there any reported instances of it in Brentwood?
Not
at the
in
moment?
Brentwood,
no.
To my knowledge. No, I think we've got some in Essex, haven't we? In Southend.
Yeah.
But in Brentwood, no, not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
And again, if you're going down with, so I was discussing this with the chief exec this morning. We had a guy in the office yesterday, and he was a bit sniffly, and I thought, I said, chief, what do we do? And he said, well, we'd take normal procedures. You know, if anyone is in, we've got an open plan office, and if anyone was in the office environment, for example, who was pregnant or a bit more vulnerable, then we would look out for them in the same way that we'd look out for them in any normal time. You know,
yeah.
if you have a pregnant girl in the office and somebody's also in the same open plan office is not well, then we need to look after that person's interests by maybe making a suggestion that somebody shouldn't be there, or making the other person work from home, just to protect them. So those common sense rules apply. This is a virus. It's obviously got a reputation as being a bit stronger than anything else, but in the same way it's transmitted pretty much as any flu virus would be, so same rules apply.
Yep.
In my view,
wash your hands, try and keep the surfaces around you clean, and that's really all you can do at the moment. Shenfield Library, actually had Sue Matthews in who went along to the meeting on Saturday. Shenfield Library, there's a proposed redevelopment of the site, a new library, cafeteria, maybe some flats,
and
then an adjacent development, a private development near, I think, or something along those lines.
I think
just wanted to know what happened, really.
So I I went along. It was Sue's meeting, yeah. And as we know, Sue's been at the forefront of the Save Shenfield Library campaign. Mm. That was very much last year and the year before was absolutely vital to bring Essex County Council to a position where they are today,
yep.
Which is said they will keep a library and actually they're going to build a new library as part of an overall redevelopment package. So I think the whole thing has moved on. Mm. Like in all of these things, we've gone from Save Shenfield Library. These guys put fantastic pressure on Essex County Council. In fact, the whole, you know, Shenfield was prominent across Essex in doing it, but you know, at the end of the day, county buckled to the pressure of the public, which was great. But yeah. I think we've moved on to the next phase now, and what we now need to do is manage what gets delivered there.
Yeah,
we need to work closely with Essex so the information is available to say what's so we can understand as people who live in Brentwood, as I do, and want to use the library, what's coming forward, how can we shape it, how can we make sure it's going to fit in with the community, how are we going to make sure it offers the services the community wanted to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are now. We're in that managing and shaping phase. There's not a lot of information at the moment, and there is unfortunately some information coming out, and I did suggest this that on Saturday when I was fortunate enough to attend the meeting and kindly be invited to speak, which is please don't conjecturise about what's going to happen. This thing about, I mean, you've just picked up on it, there's not two developments.
Right.
The site is small. There will be one development,
yep.
And incorporated within that unit. And by the way, I'm probably conjecturising a little bit because nobody's seen the drawings. This is the whole point.
Right.
But if I look at the site with common sense, there will not be two developments on a small site. You won't right. have housing and a library,
yep.
Because you won't be able to fit a library on there, or you won't be able to fit the housing on there. So what I would anticipate, and it's, I said this on Saturday, but it's not dissimilar to what we did at the town hall. You know, we've got one town hall, but within that, you've got 19 residential units, you've got commercial space, you've got a hub, you've got the police, you've got yep. Department of Work and Pensions. So it's one unit with multiple uses. And I would say that what we'd see when the plans finally come forward and we start to see the detail and the public can start to see the detail, is you'll have one unit which will absolutely have a library within it. That's been committed to by Essex County Council.
Yep.
By fear of death, they wouldn't go against that, I'm pretty sure. It will have residential in it.
Yep.
And there may be some other, this is what we need to get involved in shape. Now, will it have a coffee shop in it? Will it be a little bit more of a hub entity?
Mm.
And I'm sure it will be, and because things are moving forward in the way we do community space.
Yeah.
But the reality is, Essex will look at that site as an asset, and they will say, what can we do with that site that generates us more income? Not because they're trying to please shareholders. Shareholders are the public. Because they need to make sure they've got income coming in that makes services sustainable.
Yeah.
And I said that on Saturday. Guys, money in means sustainable library service. Mm. Let's look at the package. Let's look at the drawing. Let's see that it's the right thing for Shenfield High Street and the way it looks and feels and its setting is right. I'm passionate about wanting to make sure that happens. I know Sue is and all the people who live in Shenfield are. So we're in that phase.
So but basically no decision's been made. The next phase will be the plans of what's yeah. going to go in. And then there'll be another sort yeah. of consultation to say, okay, how does everybody feel about yeah. that? Is that how it, that's how it will work?
It is. Our planners at Brentwood will be working with Essex County Council's planners. The thing that's interesting about this is it's slightly different because Essex, being a Tier 1 authority, have got the power to make their own planning decisions on their own land, pretty much the way they would do it if it was a school or something like that. You know, it's the same sort of thing. But we will be involved as Brentwood planners and councillors and the public as best as we can to shape what comes forward from Essex. And Sue, heart's in the right place. She said to me, Chris, why would I want to put forward a design that's going to offend anybody?
Mm.
You know, poor old Sue, she's in there, she's involved because of the libraries, and she's been through the mill a little bit because she was questioned about lack of plans and some of the stuff that was outside of her scope. I get that, but Essex equally need to make sure that they pull a team together that involves the planning portfolio holder, the library portfolio holder, the asset and finance person, so there's a joined up message from them.
Yeah.
And I think, to be fair, and I think that was seen and felt on Saturday, that wasn't as joined up as it could be.
Mm.
So therefore I think Sue probably took a bit more pressure than she should have done because she was trying to fend off lots of questions about things that were probably outside of her remit.
Yeah.
But I'm optimistic. It's phase two. Essex has said we'll get a library. Fantastic. Brand new library with a few flats on it. And by the way, we could do with some flats in Shenfield as well. Because, you know, what's the average gas price in Shenfield? 750, 800?
It's a place I won't be able to afford to live, that's for sure.
So we need some small unit accommodation.
Yeah.
You know, we need to be able to make sure people are able to get on the property ladder. So I think I'm really optimistic about it. Essex, I'm going to take them at their word. deliver as a library, put a package of things around it to make it sustainable. There's a few challenges we've got to work through on. I'm going to move, or the committee that's meeting tonight, which is our community committee, is going to take an emergency item that I've asked for that says, actually, let's lead from the front here, let's pull Essex together, and let's get an action plan to make this transition successful. One of the things that I don't know the answer to, and again, we're dependent on Essex for this, but we'll work with them to do this, is interim provision of the library.
Yes.
So when it becomes a building site for 18 months, where do you get to your books? Where's your study space going to be? So I'm pushing that. I've already contacted Sue since Saturday. There's an emergency item coming to a committee tonight to push that, and I can't do probably any more than that. But we are going to not be dictated to. We will say, Essex, come on, guys. This is our community. We're closer to it than you are. Let's work together to make sure we end up delivering a library and we manage the interim situation.
Brilliant. Thank you for that. I hope that's answering the question that came in. Now, we're going to go on to Johnny Rowland has put potholes, potholes, potholes. So what's the response?
Essex, Essex, Essex. And it sounds flippant, and I don't mean it to be, Johnny. Potholes are a pain in the whatnot. Mm. I nearly said something I shouldn't have said at 10 to 11 in the morning. But the Highway Authority are responsible for the highway. We all feel, we all fall foul of potholes, and we have to do what we have to do, which is we report them, and we put all of the reported defects into the mix of Essex for the thousands of miles of road that they cover. They will pick up what's reported. They will allocate a reference number to it. They will come out and inspect it, and they will say, yeah, that's really bad, we need to fix it, or no, that does or doesn't meet our criteria, and we'll come back to it another time. Mm. I struggle with that often because I think, come on, guys, you could fix that. That is a problem. And I do struggle sometimes, if I'm being quite frank, with the responses that I see. I mean, I drove through a small lake this morning, going by past Honeypot Lane to get into the town centre.
Yep.
I'm sure that's been reported, and Essex need to fix it. Because I don't want an amphibious vehicle to go to work in the morning.
No.
I want to just go through it in my car without worrying about the thing conking out, because I'm in half a metre of water. So, yeah. One of the things I have about potholes, I think, that frustrates me, I think why we're seeing so many now, is, and I will keep banging this drum with these guys at Essex, reason potholes are so bad is the drainage is appalling.
Right.
Standing water, blocked drains, ditches that are not flowing properly. You put standing water on a road and it will break the road surface up. And I'm fed up of seeing the one at the top of Dodnurse Road, there's a grid. I know these things intimately. And I've seen them patch around it now for the third time. Mm. And the last time the girl was there measuring it up, I nearly shouted out the window, you might want to unblock it first, love, before you go and fix it again. And lo and behold, the water's standing on it. It's all fell apart again. Sort the blooming drains out.
Mm.
Get the water situation under cover and under control, and then you might find that you have a better chance of maintaining a half-decent highway. But you've got to keep reporting them, and Essex have got to deal with them.
Now, Dave Poulton, what is being done to combat the frequent parking, partially or wholly, on the pavement of the high street, causing obstructions for pedestrians and damaging paving stones?
Absolutely right, Dave. Fed up with people who don't give a monkeys. They have damaged the high street. We are part of the South Essex Parking Partnership, and we will go out with our enforcement officers into the high street and the South Essex Parking Partnership wardens, effectively, and we will keep slapping tickets on their windows. I haven't got the numbers in front of me because I wasn't anticipating the question until we came in, but I can tell you now, and I'm happy that we can somehow publish the numbers. I'm sure Lorne will be listening back at the town hall. Yeah. Lorne, if you can get those numbers up of how many tickets we've issued last time we're out. We do slap literally three numbers, hundreds of tickets on windows.
Yeah.
And people just pull up and think they can get away with it.
Mm.
One of the other things that's happening quite a bit is the people who are pulling up, like Just Eat and the delivery people, they're quickly pulling up, grabbing a pizza, running off again in the car.
Yeah.
And it's not acceptable, and we'll keep tickets to them. Mm. You know, if you do it, you're going to pay, and we'll try and do our best to catch you. We can't be there 24/7, 365, but we do have a pretty strong approach to slapping fines on people who are parking on the pavement in the high street. It's not acceptable.
Dave's also said the high street ignoring the no entry sign at the top of Crown Street. He's put down there, especially people who work at a certain branch on the high street. I won't mention it just in case it's not. It's others are using it for a shortcut to their the car park. So what could be? Are there cameras there to sort of get people going up the wrong way of the road or not?
It's news to me, Dave. I'm not saying it's not great. It's just news to me because I'm trying to think. There is some bollards there, but maybe the car can get through the bollards. I need to look into that, Dave. And if you've got any evidence or you want to message me any further information, I know you've mentioned somebody here that we won't mention, but we will have a word. It's actually, you know, it's a traffic offence going up a wrong way. It's not the council's. It's not for the council to deal with. We can probably have a word because we should be guardians that suggest people don't do that. But if I go up a one-way street the wrong way, I'm probably breaking the Highway Act, and the police will probably give me a ticket.
Yeah.
So we need to look at that, Dave. I haven't got a lot more information to say on that, to be honest with you.
Maureen Ellingford, what infrastructure is there planned for Worley now that both Ford headquarters and the car park is converted? And the car park is to be converted to housing.
So, Maureen, very simply, when Fairview, I think it's Fairview, might be wrong actually, but when the big developer that's purchased the site for about 36 million, I think it was, the car park, the old site, when they come forward with a proposal, which will be several hundred homes, don't know the exact number, but good 500 plus, clearly they will have to have an infrastructure proposal with it. It will need, we'll need to look at the junctions, we'll need to look at, all the things that entail a new community being built. You know, we will be needing to work with Essex County Council Highways to make sure the access is correct. We will also, as we grow the town as part of a whole LDP thing, and will be a big site that will be part that's contributing to that growth of the town. We need to be looking at things like, as all people mentioned, doctors, schools. There's a whole package of things. Yeah. So I can't tell you what the exact infrastructure is planned, Maureen, for the Ford site, because an application hasn't come in yet. But I can tell you when it comes in, infrastructure is absolutely key to getting that through. And if the infrastructure is not adequate, then it won't pass as a planning application.
Barry, just to say, Barry Wright, you actually came through talking about the library, and more or less... kind of, you've covered that point.
Yeah,
really,
it's interesting. Although Barry says, you know, he's got a great attitude towards a library, vibrant, buzzing atmosphere with food, drink, media, community activities. He says quiet pods. So you know, the library to me has always been about shh.
Yeah.
And Barry wants to have a rave in there or something. So there's a balance.
Yes.
But I'm sure this is the good thing, Barry, about actually when Essex starts to shape that proposal of what that community hub looks like, we need to start to listen and say, well, if there are people like you who want a vibrant, buzzing atmosphere in there, and other people want to quietly read the paper or a book, then we need to see how we can accommodate those people and divide that space. Mm. So it's an opinion, Barry, and that opinion needs to be put into Essex County Council when the consultation starts about what we want in there.
Tony Finnegan said, what is the latest timescale on developing William Hunter Way? You've also got, Southend and Dunton of having sort of cinemas and all the stuff done. So any updates on Hunter Way?
So the latest is, not an immediate update, the latest is we finally entered our joint venture partnership with Morgan Sindall October last year when we signed the document. There are three sites that are being worked up on at the moment, and that will probably an update on at least two of those coming forward later this month, which is Maple Close, Westbury Road car park in the town centre, and just had a mental blank. Anyway, there's another one. He'll come to me in a second. So William Hunter Way, the short answer is the William Hunter Way is not in that mix. That's the big one. We've got to get that right. And Morgan Sindall, I can tell you, are very keen to start to move that on. But I can't say to you, planning applications coming in June and you'll see it by, you know, 2022. Mm-hmm. I can't give you that answer at the moment. But I can tell you now, Barry, that I don't want to be sitting here in 5 years and being another leader that is saying, oh, sorry, we didn't get round to it.
Yeah.
I'm not for that and for getting stuff done. And as soon as I can, and we'll keep this dialogue going, as soon as meaningful timescales come forward, I'll update you guys.
Yeah.
But the answer is now, there's no plans in as yet on that site because we're focused on three other sites at the moment.
Now, I had another question about emergency housing.
Yes.
That came through.
Okay, I'm taking it by emergency housing that they're referring to people who are in a situation where they're homeless and we need to accommodate them in temporary accommodation effectively. Yeah. So I'm just looking at the question.
Yeah, I think it was just if people are, you know, obviously outside of the area. Yeah,
it's within area stuff. So it's difficult because the rough numbers right now, we've got about 60 families, effectively not people, but 60 units of people effectively homeless. excuse me, that doesn't mean they're on the street, but it does mean the reason we have to do the best we can, and we have a duty to try and accommodate them. We can't always give them what they want, because, as I say, we've got a finite resource of houses. But I can't, I'm hoping next time I cut, and this sounds like a deferral, I'm sure, but I don't want to say too much about it now, because I can't, because it's not a done deal.
Right.
But I'm hoping next time we get together, I'll have some good news on that front.
Right.
Because there has been some, an accommodation unit, for want of a better word, multiple units that's been empty in Brentwood for some time. And I'm having some dialogue with an organisation that I'm hoping is going to take that on. And if that does happen, that means we'll be able to bring a lot more into Borough than we've been able to do. And I recognise all the points. Once you're out of there, if you've got kids in school and all that stuff, it's difficult. We try our best with limited resources. What we need to do is start building these houses as soon as possible. We need to, you know, we need to get onto a growth plan. And that's what's happening. You know, I mentioned Maple Close. We're going to put 7 units on what was a garage site.
Mm.
It's only a small start, but these are the sort of things we're going to start chipping away at and start putting accommodation into place. That was the other one. Where back at the, how could I forget? Back at the town hall where we had our Seven Arches Road building where the registry office was.
Right.
There's a plan coming forward to turn that into 11 units.
Right.
So it's just a wasted building. Let's put some accommodation on it. So this won't happen overnight, but I can tell you now we're going to move that forward in terms of building new units. But with a bit of luck, hopefully I can update you as to maybe a bit of news that's coming about some temporary accommodation in Borough.
Lovely. Now, budgets.
Yeah. So we won't go for a load of boring old numbers, but I said to you, I think when we were in last time, that when we'd done our corporate strategy, which had sort of 5 key themes to it, which is growing our economy so we could ensure that business thrives in Brentwood, protecting our environment, developing our communities, improving housing, which we've just been talking about, and then obviously as a council we need to make sure we continue to deliver effective services efficiently. So there are 5 key priorities, but of course all of that needs to be funded. Okay, so last week we went for our budget, and in order to fund the budget, what we've done is we've put £5 on a Band D property. Band D is a particular size of house, I won't get too technical. £5 over the year is a 10 pence increase a week on a Band D. So we've been pretty modest. It's around about a 2-2.5% increase in council tax. But if you look at it per week, it's, if you're in a Band D, which is your bog standard average for the house that I live in, it's about 10 pence a week.
Right.
All right. But we had to do that in order to continue to fund services. We're not making any significant changes in terms of the level of service we provide. So the common one that we all touch on each week is getting your bins collected. That's the frequency of that's not going to change, but we are going to invest in the scheme going forward. That will come around in the summer. Where we want to just improve the quality of what people are presenting to be recycled. Our green agenda is huge. It's got to be for any local authority now. You know, and I split it into 2 themes, carbon absorption and reducing the emissions of carbon. So we absolutely need to drive an electric vehicle infrastructure through Brentwood over the coming years. I think it's going to be massive pressure doing a lot of work to do. So again, that needs to be funded. There's work going on at the moment looking at our 3 high streets in the borough, so Shenfield, Brentwood and Ingatestone, and we're doing a work with Samples Place at the moment about just getting feedback as to what people think, what do they want. That then links into bigger projects like we just talked about. How will William Hunter Way play its role in sustaining the town centre? What do we do actually when we cut, and we, you know, we back to accommodation and residential units. Actually, I'm starting to see that and learn that the pattern across the country is where high streets are under pressure, where you start to reinvigorate the high street is you put your customer audience bang on the high street, i.e. residential in the town centre. It's going to really help. And I think we see that in Shenfield. There's quite a closer residential connection with Shenfield as a high street. People feel free to pop with the Bakers and whatever else they do. And Shenfield is faring better in terms of occupancy of retail units than Brentwood and Ingatestone are, and I just get the feeling that might be part of the reason why, because it's got a nice community feel to that high street. And actually on the high street are houses. In Brentwood it's kind of mainly retail and restaurant, and there's a few residential units above shops, but not in the same sort of way. Anyway, how do we get onto that? We need to fund the plan. Keep saying it, we've got 5 key themes to the plan. I've been ambitious about wanting to do some big stuff. Piers got hold of me about 2 weeks ago and recorded me, and I said, mate, we're going to make some omelets, which means you're going to break an egg. And I'm, people might be a bit worried about that, but I want to do it in a positive way.
Yeah.
But I don't want to sit back and be too afraid to make an omelet so the town just stagnates. I think that would be dull and disastrous for Brentwood. So we're funding the plan, economy, environment, communities, housing, the battle that is housing, growing the town and delivering an effective and efficient council.
Now, litter picks.
Yes. So, again, it's all part of, you know, everyone can talk about CO2s and global warming and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
But let's not forget the thing that I think we see most in our environment every day, which is a bugbear for me, and I know thousands of people in Brentwood, is just the cleanliness of it and the way people throw their litter out of the car window and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, that's not just unique to Brentwood, it's a national problem. So Keep Britain Tidy, for the last few years, have run this spring clean campaign.
Yeah.
And they're doing that again this year. There's some big sponsors involved. It runs nationally from the 20th of March to the 13th of April. And we want to support that. So what we're going to do, and what we have done, is arranged for them to be some community litter picks. So Saturday 21st of March, we'll meet at Shenfield Library to recognise that it is a community hub and a great meeting place, 10 a.m. If you want to come along, we'll give you a stick, a litter picker, a bin bag, a hybrid vest, and let's go off and, you know, contribute back and tidy up after these ignorant people that like to make the place a mess. 28th of March, Hutton Community Centre will meet up at 10 a.m. and the 4th of April, Bishop's Hall over the road here will meet up at 10 a.m. And people who are willing to get involved, and there's so many of them, there's some really good organisations in Hutton, in Pilgrim's Hatch, that are really proactive about wanting to keep the neighbourhood clean. Come along, we'll give you the tools to do it, give you a, we'll talk about a little route, go off for an hour or half an hour and come back with a bin bag full of what somebody else left behind.
Yeah.
And it just makes it feel good. It's a nice community event. So I'm going to do that. I'll leave you these bits and pieces. And if you, if, in fact, I'll leave you those dates. I've got, if I give you a PDF of this, maybe you can put it on the website or something.
Yeah, sure.
But we'd love them to get people to get involved. So we're just trying to encourage people to get involved, really, because it's a big task.
Yes.
I've said it before on this radio station. People throw litter away out of their cars and drop it at a rate, unfortunately, quicker than we as a small local authority can pick it up.
Yeah.
And that frustrates me. But I didn't want to put council tax up on a bandy by 15 quid a year to try and fund an extra 5 litter pickers. So everything you do has to be paid for.
Yeah.
There might be people out there thinking, well, I'd pay for that. To be honest, it probably would.
Better, but still go along and do that instead.
Yeah, you know, it's a balance, isn't it? It's a balance. You know, you spend a fortune clearing up after inconsiderate people, whether they're pavement parking, whether they're dropping the litter, whether they're, you know, these kiddies, I can't, you know, these silly gas bottles that...
Oh, I know, they're really dangerous,
it's
actually.
It's been around for a while, but I've picked up a few boxes of them, not just like one or two.
Yeah.
There was one up on Woodman Road the other day, they just like must have pulled up and chucked it all out of the car.
Yeah.
Boxes full of the stuff.
Mm.
So,
you know, step on one of those, you're liable to go through the air on them, actually, because they're a little bit like marbles, really, aren't they? Like cylinders,
absolutely.
That you would just shoot over.
So, unfortunately, we have to clean up after these people, and that's part of the tension we get. But there we are.
Well, you know, I'm going to throw in just a random question now, because I always do this at the end. If I wasn't talking about Wilson's Corner and then my terrible time trying to drive around there, the fountains, I didn't realise... we have fountain by Sainsbury's.
We do, don't we? On the
corner,
and it's meant to be.
I've seen a thing that it said it's one of the landmarks for Brentwood, and I just didn't even think it's like a meant to be a tourist attraction.
No.
So is it? I think I might have seen them once, but they're not switched on anymore. They just.
You know what? I don't think they're switched on. And the only time I actually really noticed them, if I'm bluntly honest, is when some clever clogs poured two tubs of fairy into it and it became a bubble bath.
Right.
That was a few years ago.
Yeah.
You're right, they're not on them, they're not noticeable. I think they might even be Sainsbury's own thing, you know. It could be nice in theory.
Maybe in the summer.
Yes,
you know,
it's never going to be Jumeirah Beach, is it? But
it's just that I thought Lamb is going, these things that's tourist attractions to do in Brentwood, and that came up as one of them. I thought
did
I didn't
it?
Even know. Yes.
Oh, for goodness sake! No,
I know.
I don't know who's writing these things. That's I don't know. It was an attraction if somebody put a bottle of fairy in it.
Right.
But I'm not encouraging.
It's
that,
not. It's
way.
Not been sculpted by somebody famous, is it? Possibly.
I don't know. It's got like these metal things, stainless steel things that come up with like a bowl at the top.
So it's like tulips, aren't they?
Like a tulipy shape. Yeah, that's it. And then water just comes out the top. But
yeah,
I think somebody's turned the tap off for the winter or something. I'll have to go and have a word.
Probably Sainsbury's. Well, you can take the water that we get coming in here, maybe, and use it. Let's not say any more about that. No, Thank you very much to Chris.
I've enjoyed off the drips under a brolly on this radio station.
Yes, there we go. Thanks very much to Chris. You'll be back in again probably in another month or two with some more updates.
Yeah, like I say, I think there's some good stuff coming forward, Michelle, so... hopefully I can update you on that housing thing I mentioned, hopefully some good news, and then get these blooming local elections out of the way, and then we'll get back to doing some business again.
Yeah, and thank you to everybody that sent in questions, and also to Chris for answering your questions. He didn't know he was going to get questions when he came in this morning, so thanks very much for letting people know.
Thank you, Michelle, and I appreciate you inviting me on again.
Lovely. Just coming up to 10 past 10, let's play a little bit of music. Here's Sheryl Crow with A Change Will Do You Good.